Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Here. Bird Show.
Well, color me surprised. I'm surprised to see Kristen in here this morning because she was recovering from COVID. And I'm surprised to see Abby in here because I thought she'd be in the trunk of a car in Indianapolis.
I feel like the theme of today's show is just going to be, she's alive. She's alive. So both me and Kristen.
Survive in advance. All right. First, let's start with you here. Kristen?
Yes. I have been marked safe from this year's COVID variant. So, you guys probably heard late last week, like I wasn't sounding the best. And just to be smart, on Friday, that was our Häagen-Dazs day where Häagen-Dazs was donating 100% of the sales to Burt's Big Adventure if you went and just enjoyed some ice cream.
Sidebar, that cookie dough ice cream is no joke.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
So I was supposed to be at Häagen-Dazs at noon on Friday to hang out with some Burt's Big Adventure kiddos. Real quick, Burt's Big Adventure, our nonprofit, we take kids with chronic and terminal illness to Disney. And I was looking forward to it, but I also didn't feel well. And I was like, I'm going to be responsible. We're hanging out with some kids that shouldn't be around like germs. So I took a COVID test and that bad boy wasn't just positive. It was positive.
Super red.
I mean, it came so quick. I mean, it was like there was no doubt whatsoever that my body was just teeming with COVID germs.
So now as one does, when Kristen informs everybody she's got COVID, I'm like, well, was I really close in proximity to her at all? We're in an airtight studio. All of us are here in an airtight studio. And on Friday also, Kristen was literally on top of my body, breathing into my face.
Yeah, when I was putting on your fake chest hair.
Yes.
Don't think I didn't thought about that. And so I immediately sent a text to the people I hung out with, and I'm like, I am so sorry, but you know, you've been exposed. Just be mindful and be smart. Friday wasn't feeling the greatest. Saturday really kicked me in my butt, but on Sunday I made a miraculous recovery. However, when I've been taking tests steadily, and Sunday was still positive, yesterday was still positive, but she will faint. She will real faint. I mean, because I took the test on Sunday and I was like, yes, yes. And then I went back in the bathroom and I was like, no.
And those COVID tests do kind of look like pregnancy tests, too.
Yeah. Yep. So
you sent a text out saying you probably weren't going to be in here this morning. So I'm in here early, and then Kristen walks in. I'm like, oh, little tear comes down my cheek. She made it.
Yeah, because yesterday afternoon, because Jimmy had open house at his school last night, which I actually, believe it or not, really wanted to attend so I could know like what the class schedule is like, and you know what they're doing for extracurriculars, blah 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 blah. And I took a test yesterday afternoon, and again, still. And I was like, so I let everybody know. And so Bart went over to Abby's place and picked up the equipment that she hauled all the way to Indiana for no reason. Cause you know, we had to do a best of yesterday. And so it wasn't till this morning when I took it and I was like, no, she clean.
Now keep in mind, this isn't the only bout with COVID that this show has had over the course of the last couple of weeks, as Cassie has been out also because her whole family had COVID and she was sequestering herself.
Mm-hmm. She was sequestering herself and Hazel because her husband Chad and Max were dealing with it. But I think everybody's coming around. I don't know what this means for us for winter, if we're already dealing with, because I mean, we've been getting numerous emails from the school letting them know like COVID is just running rampant through the schools right now.
And so now, I don't know if you're doing this also, but every sniffle I have, I'm like, oh, I got COVID. Every little cough I might have because of the allergies outside, oh, I'm sure I got it, but I don't have it.
Somebody hit me up and they were like, why all the, oh God, what was the word she used? Like the hype over, you know, COVID and, you know, steering clear or whatever. And I go, look at my Insta story from just a couple slides ago. I go, I just happen to have COVID, but this goes for the flu. This goes for strep. This goes for pneumonia. If you test positive for anything, keep your butt at home so you don't spread germs, so you can take care of yourself and take care of others. Like, it's not just about COVID. That's just what I happen to have.
Yeah.
And because I care about other people, I just kept my butt home.
I think I'm confused. Was the gripe that you should have come to work with COVID?
Well, because of my Insta story, I was just letting, like, I was like, hey, so this is the deal. This is what's going on. And then I had a list of symptoms, like potential COVID symptoms, which I checked off like nearly all of them. And then it was just like, why the over, like I was being overreactive and pushing the COVID agenda.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not what is happening here.
Yeah.
Just read up on the variant. It is running rampant. We just want to try to keep people like, well, which is why I took a test before I hung out with chronic and terminally ill kids just to be like a somewhat responsible adult. So I'm just asking for everybody else to try to be a somewhat responsible adult. And if you test positive for COVID or flu or strep or pneumonia or bronchitis or whatever, keep your butt at home.
I think that's good policy.
I think so, too.
All right. And Abby here has tested positive for life this morning. We were checking so much on Abby over the weekend. I was checking on her before she even left, but I didn't know it.
Yeah, he texted me on Saturday. He's like, how's the wedding? I'm like, well, I'm on the Beltline. So if the wedding's happening right now, I'm not making it to it. But no, the wedding was on Sunday. So I flew out Sunday morning and then first thing Monday morning. I was supposed to broadcast from the Best Western Crawfordsville, but then Kristen got the cocoa. So I didn't have to wake up early, which turned out to be great because I don't think I've housed that much alcohol since college.
Is that
like,
right?
I'm a social drinker. Like, I like to go out, have a glass of wine, like, mingle, do the things. But I'm not someone who, like, binge drinks. I think I maybe had 12 tequila shots Sunday night.
God, really?
And I was like, that's what you do when you're celebrating a listener that invites you to a wedding to meet a random man from the internet. Like, I feel like that's the proper way to go about your night.
And you're just a little itty bitty thing. 12 shots of tequila. What's probably over-exaggerated, I'm guessing?
No.
No, it's not.
Nobody is more shocked than me because normally after four glasses of wine, I'm in my shower throwing up. So I'm like, why am I at this dive bar down the street from the wedding venue taking Patron shot after Patron shot like it is water?
Sounds great, actually.
It was great. And obviously, everyone was texting me being like, how is it? How's the date going? Because I was going down there to meet the best man who I'd been set up with for this date from this listener who listened and thought this is the perfect man for Abby. And when I tell you, even this is the most active my Instagram has ever been. I'm going to give you a number. I probably got 300 DMs on Sunday night alone of people just being like, what's going on? How is everything? How are you feeling? How's everything going? Like, this is more than the London situation. And my DMs were blowing up when I was in London. Whereas now I'm just in Crawfordsville, Indiana. And I feel like I had to literally hold a press conference because there were so many DMs flooding my Instagram.
What was the percentage of DMs coming in excited by the prospect of you meeting the man of your dreams compared to how many were checking just to make sure you were still breathing?
It was probably 90-10. Okay. 10% of people were like, you're alive, right? I'm like, yes, I'm alive. I'm fine. Like, here's proof of life. Here's me drunk at the wedding. We're about to go somewhere else. But it was a really good time. I have some fun stuff that I'm going to share later today. Okay. Like the reason my mom instantly sent me a flight and was like, we need to get you out of there right now.
Okay.
And then also apparently his job's legal team was going to get involved with this.
No.
So I'll share that with you guys as well later in the day.
It's The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Other than the sheer amount of text messages and DMs I was getting asking if I was alive after going on my blind date at a wedding in Indiana, the other like 10% of things that people were messaging me about was this one clip from Grind City Media that thinks they have debunked whether or not Taylor Swift is or is not going to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show in 2026.
I think Taylor Swift is going to be the Super Bowl halftime show performer. I do. And you want to know why? I don't think Taylor Swift is actually baking sourdough bread. I think it was an Easter egg. Where is the Super Bowl this year?
You told me during the break. It's in Santa Clara. Levi's. Levi where the
Stadium.
Niners play.
Niners play. Who's the Niners mascot?
Sourdough Sam.
Sourdough Sam.
Oh.
Sourdough. sourdough Sam. She said she's thinking about sourdough 60% of the time. When she's going on and on about sourdough, how much sourdough she's baking. 60% of the time, it's Super Bowl 60 in Levi's Stadium, home of
she
sourdough
is gonna do the Super
Sam.
Bowl.
I think she's doing the Super Bowl.
She is going to do the Super Bowl.
I think she's doing it. Okay, there's another one, too. There's another piece of this. She said, specifically, thank you for screaming for 47 seconds for me. 47 seconds could be a connection to her her Eras Tour stop at Levi's Stadium was her 47th stop on the Eras Tour.
If you're wondering, what is this sourdough thing she was talking about? It all comes back to the New Heights podcast that she did with her boyfriend Travis and his brother Jason Kelce. Me and Bert are sitting on the side because we did sort of a watch party on Instagram. We were like, okay, Taylor is going to be doing a 2-hour podcast. Let's all watch it together on Instagram. And we're sitting there and I'm like, I'll listen to Taylor Swift read off a receipt. Like, if she's there, I'm watching it. I'm fully locked in. Like, I'm going to invest in it. But I am sitting there thinking, and I'm even telling Bert, I think at one point, like, she's really talking a lot about sourdough. Because I'm looking at it from a content standpoint. I was like, what intern didn't flag this as a story that's going on way too long? Because she's just talking about this sourdough habit that she has for like 10 minutes. But now people are like, there was probably a reason why she was talking about it for so long. And it's because she really wanted us to pick up on the fact that she's talking about sourdough. And then Sourdough Sam has everything to do with the Super Bowl, which I think, honestly, I don't think it's that too far off of a theory.
I don't think so either. I saw that and I immediately sent it to Abby and I'm like, oh my God, she is 1000% doing the Super Bowl.
This is part of the brilliance of Taylor Swift and her camp also, in that she's put so many of these Easter eggs together that you're constantly looking at it and keeping her name on your mouth because you don't know if she's dropping these Easter eggs or not. It would be brilliant. Now, as a football fan, I was very, very interested on how Sourdough Sam would be the mascot of any football team.
It is random.
It is, right? But not so. So I just did a quick Google search. Sourdough Sam is the mascot of the San Francisco 49ers because he embodies the spirit of the Gold Rush era and the city's iconic sourdough bread. The 49ers are named after the gold prospectors who flocked to California in 1849. And sourdough bread is a culinary symbol of San Francisco.
Well, the more you know. So she's not just really, really into sourdough. She was trying to drop us a little hint about maybe the Super Bowl. But it is smart also from a content standpoint because she mentions in that New Heights podcast that she likes to drop Easter eggs in things like this. And I think the most I've heard her talk ever was when she did the NYU commencement speech and she revealed in that podcast, she's like, yeah, that entire speech was an Easter egg. So now, of course, all the Swifties are clocking that and going, I need to watch this podcast 2,000 times because she's clearly saying something in here that's going to come up in her album later.
She did give us one really good piece of information about Easter eggs during that podcast. Also, she said she will never drop an Easter egg about anything in her personal life. Which, so it's all business.
It called me out because I've definitely looked at her rings and I'm like, do these rings mean anything? Is she trying to tell us that she's secretly engaged but doesn't want to be too forthcoming with it?
Did you also see as somebody the people who are done, because now that I sent that, I saw that and I sent it to you, I'm getting all of these videos about Taylor Swift Easter eggs in my Instagram for you, right? And there was one girl who was doing a deep dive and apparently like this past year when she was attending events, whether it be NFL games or music awards, she was wearing a crap ton of plaid. Like she was like just drenched in plaid. October 3rd, the day she's releasing the album, is National Plaid Day.
Oh, and it's also National Boyfriend Day. And whose podcast does she go on?
Yes!
Her boyfriend!
Some people would be like, oh, that's just a coincidence. No, I really legit think like she and her team like were like, this is the day we're releasing it. Oh, it's National Plaid Day. We're going to start wearing a bunch of plaid. Because she plans this stuff. She said like sometimes 3 years in advance.
I'd be more interested in taking a peek into the meetings of when they're planning the Easter eggs and I might be anything else on her tour.
I know. She probably has somebody that's dedicated to this, like director of Easter eggs. And that whenever this job goes away, that's the job that I want.
Somebody figured out too. And I just got sucked into this Easter egg wormhole at one of her concerts, or maybe it was throughout the Eras tour. The lights above the stage were actually in Braille, but you had to take them and turn them upside down in order to read them, and there was a message to the fans in upside down Braille on the stage, and I'm like, what is happening?
It's probably a song lyric, and then we're gonna be like, she was planning 4 years in advance.
This is The Bert Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I don't know. I think when my kids were young, I probably watched two Pokemon shows. Two. That's it. Two episodes. I think I bought a couple of different cards for my kids at one point. Never really totally into it until yesterday. So I'm in Target yesterday, right? I'm just running some errands. And I see a line start to form at the very edge of all the cashiers next to the wall where they have like baseball cards and they sell that memorabilia and all that, right? And there's this long line starting to form. And I'm heading on over to the card section and I pass it and I'm like, I wonder what's going on here.
Of course you do.
Right? I'm kind of curious, right? So I walk past this line of people to the very front of the line and I meet Ben. Hey, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. So I say to Ben, I'm like, dude, hey, I'm sorry to interrupt here, man, because dude's focused, man. He's in the front of the line. He's got all these people back. And I'm like, what's going on here? And he explains to me that, well, you can explain it better than I can, but this was like the delivery for all the Pokemon merchandise.
Yeah.
And you never quite know when that is going to be delivered at Target.
Yeah, so you witnessed a Target restock. That's what they would call it.
Okay.
It's a replenishment of cars. It happens once a week.
So you go in there and this is not something that is, it's not like you can go on a Target website and say, hey.
Yeah, like
hey.
How do you find out?
Yeah, right.
Most of these items, they're not available online. And if they are, they'll be sold out within minutes. Nowadays, people are using like technology, which is bots to check out very, very fast. It's beating like the normal speed. So the only way to get product is to get them at the store. You can get them on eBay, but you're paying about 3 or 4 times the price of MSRP. So that's why people wait in line because they're getting it for the cheapest.
But how do you know when the shipment's coming in?
You don't. It's really random.
So yeah. Like
there's like an underground communication online and between these guys that are, because I went right down the line. I started asking people about it. I was really, really curious. But they have like friends that are all in this community, right?
Yeah. So the line, it starts with one person and then it gets to like 15 people within 10 minutes, right? And it's all because people are texting like, hey, I see the restock coming. And everybody's like, let me make it there. Let me make it there. And within 10 minutes, you saw the line go from one person all the way to 20 people.
Yeah. So it's not even a Target employee that they're looking out for. It's somebody, it's a vendor, right?
Yeah, it's a vendor.
Can you explain that?
The vendor does, they work with Target, but they don't work in the store. They basically just go in, do inventory and merchandising and make sure it looks nice and presentable, like how the display pictures mm-hmm. are supposed to be. And then
it's like a quality control check.
Yeah, like a quality control check. And then it's also like a LP check because Target doesn't really want their employees to touch the merchandise because there's too many rooms for theft. So then they hire like an independent contractor.
No way.
To come stock.
Yes, yeah. Man. It's serious. It's hardcore.
So well, this line, this queue forms and you're standing there. Is there a rule on how much you're allowed to take or can you just take as much as you want?
So Target implements a 2 per policy per item. But Walmart and Sam's Club, they haven't done that yet. So if you're able to get there first, mm-hmm. you could actually clear out the whole. And that's how it used to be before Target implemented the policy.
Huh.
So I'm curious, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, because if it might be your own personal secret, but how do you get tipped off? Because there must be somebody in the store that's going, hey, because you're not sitting, he works at Lifetime Work. You're not sitting in the store waiting for this.
No, so it's a lot of ways you can get cars, right? There's Barnes & Nobles, there's Targets, there's Best Buy, there's GameStop. I just so happen to be in Target Shopping Center, so I work with the resources that's available to me. So from where I'm at, I can actually see the car section from the door. So I don't have to go all the way in. So when I peek at the door, if there's a red cart with boxes on there, it's an indication she's about to come restock.
So all day long, you're looking outside of your window to see if that...
Well, I go on break once a day anyways.
Okay.
And then I come in the morning and then I leave at night. So about 3 times, I'll just peek. Mm-hmm. And you just happened to see me when I was on break.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I was on break and I had time to look. And then when I saw the restock, normally I'll call somebody and then they'll kind of hold my place in line. but I had time to wait, so that I waited through. And normally, I wouldn't want to take a whole hour break, but it doesn't happen often. So I was like, let me just wait because I'll make up the time the rest in the week or something.
So my dude's in line, and he's got 20 people behind him, right? And I got nothing else to do the rest of the day. And I'm like, okay, I'll just stand in line and look at some Pokemon stuff. So, and I don't even know why. So what? So I stood in line with everybody chatting. And it's such an... I love communities like this so much, you guys, because they are so friendly and so helpful. There is no pretension to it at all. They are so willing to share and eager to share with you. So as I'm talking to everybody in line, they're focused. They are focused because they are... Mm-hmm. You can see them starting to count how many of the things that they want are already being passed out that they won't have the option to get once they get to the front of the line, right? So I'm in line and I'm talking to these guys and they're kind of distracted but being really, really cool also. And as I'm getting closer, I don't even really know what I'm in line for. I just know that I've heard it could be a lot of money. So what is the motivation to like have your antenna up all the time and get in line?
So if you don't want to pay an arm and a leg for the product, this is the only way to get it for retail price. Is to wait in line. And it's kind of like you can buy it anytime you want, but you don't want to buy the aftermarket price, which is the reseller's price, because now you're paying double to rip lesser packs. So the goal is to get this as cheap as possible so you could open as many packs, because this is the front cover, but mm-hmm. you're actually chasing a card that's inside. So even though you buy this box,
yep.
you still have packs in here. There's not an even guaranteed chance you're going to get the card you want.
Okay.
So the goal is to buy multiple of these, and then you can eventually fill a binder for the set. And the binder will be like, so this will be this set, and these are cards that's in this set. And the ones that doesn't have a card, it means I haven't collected it yet.
So all of those cards that you have right there in that binder yeah. are worth how much money at this point?
This one is for this set particularly?
No, the cards that you've already collected.
Yeah, this one it's particularly just for this set Prismatic. This is about maybe
$7,000. $7,000 already.
Just $7,000 sitting there next to Abby.
All right. Ben, it's making me nervous.
Ben, what got you into Pokemon?
So what got me into Pokemon was when I was younger, I was in Illinois and I started collecting Pokemon cards there. And when I came to Georgia, I was telling people about Pokemon and nobody knew anything about it. Like it was like nobody knew about it. And then 6 months later, it just exploded and everybody was talking about Pokemon. And then now that I grew up, it's kind of like a nostalgic, a nostalgic thing to relive my childhood by collecting, because it does remind me of my childhood.
Yeah, sure. I love it. So I'm in line, and as we're getting closer and closer to my turn to start picking stuff off of the shelf, I'm yelling at Ben, who's on his way out going, dude, what should I get? What should I get? And he's pointing to things for me so I know what to get. So I ended up just like grabbing three items, not really knowing exactly what I got, but Rebecca also collects, and she saw the picture that I posted on Instagram yesterday, and I was just planning on giving it to Jackson or giving it to Hayden, who's had some interest in my son.
No, you're going to give it to me because I have done the math. Okay, I have inherited a love for Pokemon because my boyfriend is one of Ben's peers. He would be one of the young men waiting in line at a Target for the restock. We can't leave a Kroger without like checking the kiosks or looking at Target to see if there's something there. So I sent him a photo of your haul and he did the research to find out what the most expensive cards could be in your packs.
So if I got super lucky and I got the most valuable one.
If you got super lucky.
And this is a little bit like getting the golden ticket in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is what they've created here.
I mean, this is gambling. It's like child's gambling. Okay. This is what it feels like to me. And I've started my own little deck. He started me with my own binder, giving me some of his rare cards. Not any of the really nice ones, but that's fine. It's whatever. But I have gathered three of the most expensive cards that you could potentially pull from your packs.
Okay.
And there are two different values based on the card's quality. So like Ben would know, there are ungraded cards, which are just cards that you pull out of the pack. They don't have a grade. And then there are graded cards.
Hey, Bert, this is an example right here.
That's it right there?
That's a graded card.
How much is that card worth right there?
This is graded as a 9.
Get up to the mic, Ben, please. Thank you so much.
This is graded as a 9.
Uh-huh.
It's probably like 1,000. But if it was graded as a 10, a perfect mint card, it'll probably be like 2,500.
Wow. What makes it a 9 and not a 10?
So
I ask myself that every day.
when the grader grades it, he grades it based on 4 criteria: the surface, the corners, the whiting on the back, and then the centering. Sometimes it could be a mint card, but when the stamp presses it down, it's a little bit like 40-60 on the centering.
So I used to collect baseball cards way back in the day when I was a kid. And it was the same thing with like Topps baseball cards. Sometimes you get a cut card where it's half of a player, then it's another half a player. And those cards were worth so much money. You were hoping to get one of those flawed cards.
Yeah, my boyfriend has like a bunch of cards that he has from like the 90s that he keeps in his little tiny little card stock like covers, and he wants to get them graded, but he's so afraid to send them out to get them graded in case they get like lost in the mail. I'm like, please, we could have a down payment in there.
All right, so best case scenario, if I'm the luckiest guy in the world.
Best case scenario, if you pull the Pikachu X, which looks like this.
Ben, do you have that one?
I don't, but I know what set you're talking about. You got the Surgeon Spark.
Yes.
This dude's right got like all the cards on there.
I went to the Kroger machine before I got here. I was able to get 2 packs.
Yeah. Ungraded, you could sell that for $259.
Okay.
If you had a PSA 10, you could sell that for $877.
Dang.
All right. If you pull, okay, I might get this pronunciation wrong. Reshiram X, ungraded, that is $405. But with a PSA 10, you could be looking at $1,186.
What?
Yep.
All right, so Ben, I don't know what time you have to go to work. Oh.
He's got
to
be back at 7.
7?
Yeah.
Oh, because I think you all should do an unboxing together.
We can. I brought this so we could open it if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so fun.
There's 9 packs in here. We can open it.
Okay. Is that something we should do like a live stream or something?
Yeah. I think you guys should video just an unboxing because especially like any type of unboxing is huge, especially the Labubu unboxings right now because of the blind box items. And this is technically a blind box item. So I really think you and Ben should do an unboxing together. And hopefully one of these really expensive cards is in there.
That'd be super fun. Can we do a live stream on Instagram in a second?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, just so you finish out here.
Final one, Zekrom X, ungraded, $418. But PSA 10, $2,133.
What's that one video I saw online with Logan Paul who has like a $250,000 card?
So Logan Paul has an illustration card. It's very valuable because it's back from 1996. And the fact that it's exponentially high in price is because it's a mint card in a 10. So it's a vintage card from back in the days, like 30-something years old. And it's a gem mint, like a fresh card. So it's like, how is that card fresh and it's 30 years from now? That's the value for the card.
Damn. Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for coming in here. Thanks for indulging me in line when you were trying to focus. And there was another guy in line too. Nicest guy, Mark, who I took a picture with because he's a P1. He's been listening since he's a little kid. And he said his fiance was going to be totally stoked. So I take a picture with him. But he came in from work, so he had a big stain all over his t-shirt. And I posted his picture online, but I photoshopped that stain out. And he texted me later on in the day, he's like, my fiance is so happy that you took that stain out of my shirt. All right, so let's do this unboxing thing. You want to do it on our Instagram and Facebook?
Yes.
Right?
It'll be on Instagram Live.
All right.
This is The Burt Show.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.